opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome to Healing the Grieving Heart with your host, the mother-daughter team of Dr. Gloria Horsley and Dr. Heidi Horsley. Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi have devoted their lives to helping individuals move forward after a profound loss and each week share stories of hope and understanding. They dedicate their show to their son and brother Scott and to others who have lost loved ones. Now join Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi and share the journey from grief and loss to hope and renewal.
Hello, I'm Dr. Gloria Horsley with my co-host,
Dr. Heidi Horsley.
Each week, Heidi and I welcome you to Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and conversation with those who suffered the loss of a loved one and for healthcare professionals who work in this most difficult field. As always, the message is others have been there before you and made it. You can too. You need not walk alone. If you're listening to our Thursday live internet show, please join Heidi, me, and our guests by calling our toll-free number 1-866-472-5792 with questions or comments regarding the losses in your life. That's 1-866-472-5792. These shows are archived on the CompassionateFriends.org website as well as the Grief Blog. All shows can be downloaded on iTunes and transcripts can be accessed on thegriefblog.com. Well, Heidi, good morning. We've got some great guests today.
Yes, I'm looking forward to the show.
Yeah, we're going to have two guests, and we're going to be talking about grandparenting, which is a really great topic. We haven't done a lot of shows on that. And we're really lucky to have two grandparents who've written books, which I like very much to get the information that they have for us.
Yes, and I were saying previously before the show started that we haven't done this enough and talked to grandparents enough, and I think it is definitely an unacknowledged loss. I mean, it is such a significant loss to outlive your grandchild and to have a grandchild die. So we're really looking forward to
and also to see your own child suffering, too.
To see your own child suffering, absolutely. To see your own children suffering.
Right.
I mean, I always say on the show, I've said on past shows, I think one of the people that suffered the most when my brother died was my grandfather, or my mom's mom, my mom's father. He was in so much pain at losing his grandson and at seeing his daughter in pain.
Yeah. So our first guest is going to be Jewel Sample, and she's a certified child and parenting specialist and author of Flying Hugs and Kisses activity book. And our second guest is going to be on the second segment is Nina Bennett, a bereaved grandmother and author of Forgotten Tears, A Grandmother's Journey Through Grief. Well, we're looking forward to that. Before we get started with that show, I just wanted to say a little something, Heidi, about this is a real transition period for a lot of people, isn't it?
It is because, you know, a lot of kids are graduating right now or else moving up from elementary school to middle school or middle school to high school. And the thing that struck me this morning, I was walking around Manhattan, there are so many reminders in the city that we are in a time of graduation and endings. Because you go into the pharmacy to buy, you know, deodorant, and there's all these balloons and cards and gifts displayed all over the store. So it's a reminder.
So it is a real reminder time. And I also wanted to tell you something that I thought was really interesting. I heard on PBS the other day somebody wrote a little, you will know who this is. The man who decided who was going to get the money after 9/11, how much the widows were going to get and all that.
Yes, I do. I know exactly who you're talking about, and I can't.
Well, he came on and did a spot, and he said he had learned something from that every life is worth the same amount of money. And when he went to Columbine, they asked him to come in and settle that, and he gave everybody the same amount of money, and he said he didn't feel like that they'd done the right thing with 9/11 because he felt that every life was of the same value.
I love that.
I thought that was really interesting.
Absolutely.
Well, Heidi, would you like to introduce our guest today?
Yes, I'd be honored to. As my mother said, our topic today is helping grandchildren deal with SIDS, grief, and sibling loss, and our guest is Jewel Sample. Jewel is a certified child and parenting specialist who lost her grandson, Brennan, to sudden infant death syndrome, SIDS. The extended family interactions to Brennan's death inspired her to write a children's grief recovery story titled Flying Hugs and Kisses, which has an accompanying coloring activity book titled Flying Hugs and Kisses Activity Book. Welcome to the show, Jewel.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you on, Jewel. Oh, and I wanted to say before we get started with Jewel that Jewel has very kindly offered to give an autographed copy of her book and her activity book to anyone who wants to call in today with a comment or question. And again, our toll-free number is 1-866-472-5792. These are wonderful books that you've done, Jewel. They're lovely.
Thank you so much.
I've really enjoyed looking at them and reading through them. We'll talk a little bit more about specifically about the books, but tell us a little bit about your grandchild's death.
Well, Brennan's death, he was 80 days old, and one morning, Mom and Dad woke up, and he was no longer with us. And it was a sudden death. That's what sudden infant death syndrome is. He had just been to the doctor a few days before and gotten a clean bill of health, so we weren't aware that there was any problems with Brennan's little body. So,
And they never really knew what took his life?
No, they did, just like they do most SIDS investigations. They did a complete investigation, including an autopsy. They did a investigation of what they call the death scene, which is typically they take things from
and that's home. That's kind of a hard thing, isn't it? Because
yes,
they're kind of looking for if it was an accidental death or not, right?
Right.
Which is hard on the family.
Right. It's different in a sense that because they don't know what caused the death, the child and the family have to go through a different process than if they had died in a hospital and they knew why the infant died.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How many years ago was this?
It was 4.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And tell us a little bit about you as a grandma. I mean, were you a parenting specialist before?
Yes. I have worked with families in crisis for many years. I'm retired now. But I did go into the home and teach parenting skills and daily task skills and that kind of thing with families in crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And did that prepare you in any way for the death of your grandson, Brennan?
Well, I don't think anything prepares one
yeah.
for a sudden loss.
Mm-hmm.
I had contact with families, actually just one family, that had lost a child to sudden infant death syndrome. I knew what sudden infant death syndrome was. What was surprising to me, though, was the lack of community knowledge about sudden infant death syndrome. When you're surrounded as a professional by courses that you've taken, you just sometimes assume everybody else has that kind of information.
Mm-hmm.
So I was quite surprised that even some professionals did not understand the correct definition of sudden infant death syndrome.
And there's a lot of research going on right now. And isn't it in Florida or something where you have to have an autopsy so they've really been able to look at these babies and maybe why?
Yeah, in most states there has to be an autopsy done because sudden infant death syndrome is a diagnosis by elimination of different things. So they have to do what they call a forensic autopsy, and it's quite lengthy. And it takes about 6 to 8 weeks before those test results are back.
Now, is that hard for the family? Was it hard for your family waiting for that?
Absolutely. It's very hard because you have people in the community that really want to support the family, but they want to know why. And it's our human nature just to ask the question, why, what happened, and want to know the story behind the life of the infant that dies. And so struggling for the right words to say, and sometimes when others would say, well, I want more than I don't know what happened, it was quite a struggle for all of us. And we all really wanted to know what happened to Brennan as well.
Mm-hmm. And there, the problem is sometimes there's no answer even after, right?
Right. And that is what happens when you have sudden infant death syndrome as the medical diagnosis for an infant. When they can't find what happened, they basically just told us that it was similar to when you turn a light switch off that happened to Brennan's body. His body just quit working all of a sudden. It wasn't a traumatic death. and that he was at peace. He wouldn't, didn't, as far as I can tell, the SIDS infants do not go through any kind of pain.
And don't they sometimes think that they just kind of forget to breathe?
Yes, that is part of some of the research, that there's not enough serotonin in the brain that regulates the vital organs and the sleep arousal. So, yes, there is that idea out there.
Well, thank goodness that we know more about it, because I think in past times, sometimes people have thought that the family did something.
Right.
So it's quite a thing. Well, tell me about being a grandparent and having this happen. What is your take on it as far as your children were concerned and your grandchildren? Did you have other? Did they have other children?
Brennan had five big brother, a big brother, and four big sisters. He was the sixth child. And yes, they all suffered from the loss of their baby brother. He was only 80 days old.
He was the youngest of 10?
Huh?
He was the youngest of 10 children, is
no,
that
there
correct?
Were six altogether.
Six altogether, okay.
Right. There was two boys and four girls.
Mm-hmm.
And so for them, it was very difficult to understand why it happened. And it was difficult for them to understand why there wasn't a reason and to bring meaning to that. So as a grandparent before this had happened, I have at our house what we call grandma play dates. And the grandchildren come over sometimes one at a time or two at a time, and we would just do activities that the child wanted to do. And one of their very favorite pastime activities was for grandma to tell stories. And we would just make up a story, and it would be just something really outrageous, and they would get to participate in making up the story. And so when Brennan died, that was one of the things that they still wanted to continue to do, was make up a story to tell what had happened to their baby brother. So I just
now, was that painful for you the first time? To have them want that?
It's a mixed feeling of ambivalence, because you're dealing with your own grief and in the sense of how to find words that will be on a child's level for them to understand and to answer their questions in the most simple and truthful way. Yes, I think we all hurt together. But for me, we're a very open family, so we were used to saying, I feel sad, or I'm mad, or, you know, expressing those feelings toward each other, so it wasn't as seemed unnatural for me as a grandparent for them to express those types of
That's
feelings.
Great. Well, when we come back from break, I want to talk to a little more to Jewel Sample about helping grandchildren deal with sibling loss. And I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. Please stay tuned to hear more about loss of a grandchild, and feel free to join our show by calling our toll-free number.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Hello, Doctors Gloria and Heidi are pleased to announce that their new book, Teen Grief Relief, Parenting with Understanding, Support, and Guidance, published by Rainbow Books, is now available. Grief Relief can be ordered through thegriefblog.com as well as Amazon. Book orders can be made through the Book Clearinghouse at 800-431-1579. This book is a must for any family suffering a loss. Get your copy right now at thegriefreliefblog.com or amazon.com.
This is Dr. Gloria Horsley. Just a reminder to our listeners that you can own 10 of the very best Healing the Grieving Heart shows, available on CD. Our listeners tell us that they have used these shows to examine the many viewpoints of grief and to stimulate conversation on this difficult subject. Call toll-free 877-969-0010, that's 877-969-0010, to order a set, or visit the CompassionateFriends.org website and click on TCF Originals for the opportunity to purchase this specially priced set at only $60 for 10 CDs plus shipping and handling. Heidi and I have donated all the proceeds to the Compassionate Friends to help bereaved families following the death of a child.
Hello, my name is Dinah Taylor, and I'm a bereaved parent. We would like to invite all of you to the University of the Cumberlands in Williamsburg, Kentucky, on June the 6th and 7th for our 15th annual GEMS Conference to celebrate the lives of our children we have lost too soon. GEMS Conference stands for Joining in Memory. On June the 6th, Cindy Bullins will be giving a concert in memory of our children. June the 7th, the documentary Space Between Breaths will be shown, and we will have workshops such as Losing Your Religion After Losing Your Child, How I Have Survived the First Year, a workshop for men only, and another workshop, Signs from Our Children. We will also rededicate a park that has bricks in memory of our children. We will have a balloon release, an earth ceremony, and a surprise at our Christmas Box Angel statue. You can get more information by going to the website https://www.ucumberlands.edu/lamentations/, and go under GEMS Conference information. Hope to see you there. May you have a good day. Thank you.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm Dr. Heidi with my mom, Dr. Gloria, and for those of you just joining us, we are talking today with Jewel Sample about helping children deal with SIDS grief and sibling loss. Welcome back to the show, Jewel and Gloria.
Thank you, Heidi. Well, Jewel, when we went to break, we were talking a little bit about the sudden death of your grandson, Brennan, and that was 4.5 years ago, and how he was the youngest of 6 children, and how you've written these wonderful books. I want to mention the 2 books. They're beautiful. The illustrations on them are absolutely lovely. Flying Hugs and Kisses is the name of the book. It's a children's book about losing a sibling to SIDS, and then you've got this wonderful activities book, which I love. There are just all sorts of great activities you can do. You can color balloons, and you can there are places to draw a picture, write a story about what you'd like to do, what you'd like to do as a grown up. How many new words can you find? But embedded within this little workbook is a story about having a sibling die. And what a wonderful opportunity for a child to be able to really work on this and show the parents, and something for the parents to read. How did you happen to start writing this?
Well, as I had said before, we would have storytelling time at Grandma's house, and each child that came to my house had a different part of the story they wanted to tell, and I would just write things down, little nuggets that I wanted to remember, not having any intention whatsoever to write a book, but I just wanted to remember that part of that child's understanding of what happened to their baby brother or their cousin. So as time went on then, one day my granddaughter called me on the phone and she said, "Grandma, would you write my story down that we tell so that I can read it when I'm at my house because it helps me feel better?" And so I said, "Sure, sweetie, I can do that." And then when I set out to write her part of the story, I realized that several of my 11 grandchildren at that time had a part of their story that maybe I could incorporate one story for all of them and give it to them for Christmas. And I had a 5th grade grandson at the time, and he was really interested in writing books, and he was telling me how books were written. And so I asked him to be my co-editor, and we would do this together. After the story was finished and he read that, he asked me if I would submit it to a publisher because he wanted to share the story with other children who hurt just like he did.
Now, what a great idea to write something, isn't it, Heidi?
And incorporate your grandchild as the co-editor.
Yeah,
I love that.
A wonderful idea to do that. Well, Heidi, you had a question. You were talking about it breaking. Well, first of all, let me, Jewel, how do we get a hold of your book?
It is available at most major bookstores and on the Internet, particularly Amazon, and, of course, through the publisher at lifeespublishing.com. And or you can call their toll-free number at 1-877-843-1007.
And it's also on the grief blog right now. And I would suggest to you that if you're a therapist or anyone working with Sid's death, these are amazing books, and I think really helpful for children. Well, Heidi, did you want to ask Jewel the question that you were talking about during break?
I did. I was just wondering for our listeners how Jewel reassured her surviving grandchildren that they were not going to go to sleep one night and never wake up. And I'm wondering that for all of our listeners that have had a SIDS death and have surviving children that may be fearful.
Well, one of the things that the children did ask a question is what happened to Brennan's body, and we explained that to them. And we also along there explained to them that what Brennan had was not something they could get, they could catch. Mm-hmm. Their body was going to keep working. And so that was a lot of comfort to them to understand that only babies could get this that Brennan got.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you had some advice for parents out there who, let's talk about the parents first, or grandparents, we'll say that, how can they best help their children who have had a SIDS loss, and how can they take care of themselves? So let's do it, you know, in two parts. How can they help? Maybe we should start with themselves. What would your thought be?
I think the most important thing is to allow yourself to grieve and to take time for yourself to process what has happened and to acknowledge that your grief is a double whammy is what I consider it. You're grieving for yourself as a loss. You're grieving for your adult child who has a significant loss as well. And to understand that we can't, as parents, fix this for our children, but we can support them through this. And to take time to get plenty of rest and to eat properly and not try to overdo, extend your own support to your extended family when you need to have time and rest to yourself.
Mm-hmm. So, and what about, how about helping your kids?
I think helping grandchildren is to be open with them and to listen. I think the most important thing for kids is they want to be able to have somebody acknowledge what they are feeling and what they're going through. So just to listen and to give, if they ask you a question, just to give short answers and not go into great detail about all the things that could have happened or would have happened.
I love that advice. I think sometimes adults err on the side of giving too much information that's age inappropriate, and it can be scary, and kids sometimes don't understand what the parents are what the adults are saying.
Right.
I wanted to ask you, was it your daughter or your son's child?
It's my son's child. My husband and I share three sons, and three daughter-in-laws.
Uh-huh. And I was wondering, you know, I'm curious, and I don't know how we maybe deal with this someday, Heidi. I'm wondering if it's any different if it's a son. Do mothers, are they less involved with the son in a way that, how do they support them? Is it different?
Well, from my experience, it has been that it depends on the family dynamics in general. Mm-hmm. If they have a lot of contact with their family, they tend to continue to have that contact. Daughters-in-laws, depending on the relationship with the mother-in-law, have a tendency to go to their mothers. However, you know, that wasn't our case. My daughter-in-law went to both her mother and to I. And so she received support on both sides of the family.
Mm-hmm. And I think you've made a really important point, and that is don't expect your family to be different. I mean, if you weren't open, you know, if you didn't talk about things that much before you had the death in the family, it will kind of go along the way it was. Don't try to force new things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I also wanted to ask Jewel if she felt that her loss as a grandmother was acknowledged.
I think that's what you had hit on the nail at the very beginning. Grandparents are those silent grievers. People don't necessarily surround the grandparent and acknowledge their grief as much as they do, you know, the nucleus family, which, you know, as a grandparent, I didn't necessarily look for that. But as time went on, I had to find a support system. And I found one on the internet called SIDS Grandparents, and I go to that support system to, because as grandparents, we do need to have people surround us who've walked a mile in our shoes, who knows what the traumatic events that took place mean. And we also need to have support of research. And so we keep each other knowledgeable of what we have found out about SIDS as well, because we're all yearning for that medical mystery to be solved so we can bring more closure to our families.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. Well, Jewel, thank you so much for being on the show. And again, Jewel has offered, if you'd like to write something on our blog, thegriefblog.com, she would love to send you a signed copy of her book. So she's going to put a little something on the Grief Blog for us about that, and hopefully you will log in and ask Jewel some questions or make some comments, and we will shoot them off to her from thegriefblog.com. Well, again, thank you so much for being on the show, Jewel, and you can get her book, Flying Hugs and Kisses. The book and then the wonderful activity book that goes along with it. The artists that did the work on this, they're just beautiful books. And congratulations on them, Jewel.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and I hope that this helps families.
Thank you, and
thanks,
Heidi.
Thanks, Jewel.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Save the date. The Compassionate Friends 31st National Conference will be held July 18th through 20th, 2008 in the home of country music, Nashville, Tennessee. If you've experienced the devastating death of a child in your family, you will not want to miss the weekend of friendship, understanding, and hope when more than 1,200 people just like you will join together. Said one person in describing last summer's 2007 National Conference, there was so much love and compassion, you could feel it in the air. To learn more about the 2008 National Conference, the pre-conference professional outreach day, and the popular 2-mile walk to remember, visit CompassionateFriends.org or call 877-969-0010. Detailed information on the conference will be posted to the national website as it becomes available.
Hello, my name is Dinah Taylor, and I'm a bereaved parent. We would like to invite all of you to the University of the Cumberlands in Williamsburg, Kentucky, on June the 6th and 7th, for our 15th annual GEMS Conference to celebrate the lives of our children we have lost too soon. GEMS Conference stands for Joining in Memory. On June the 6th, Cindy Bullins will be giving a concert in memory of our children. June the 7th, the documentary Space Between Breaths will be shown, and we will have workshops such as Losing Your Religion After Losing Your Child, How I Have Survived the First Year, a workshop for men only, and another workshop, Signs from Our Children. We will also rededicate a park that has bricks in memory of our children. We will have a balloon release, an earth ceremony, and a surprise at our Christmas box angel statue. You can get more information by going to the website https://www.ucumberlands.edu/lamen/TATIONS/ and go under GEMS Conference information. Hope to see you there. May you have a good day. Thank you.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm Dr. Heidi with my mom, Dr. Gloria. On this segment of the show, we continue to discuss grandchildren grief and loss with our second guest, Nina Bennett. Nina Bennett is a bereaved grandmother and author of Forgotten Tears, A Grandmother's Journey Through Grief. Nina will discuss with us a grandmother's loss and how she honors her granddaughter, Maddie, by writing and speaking on the disenfranchised grief of grandparents, especially when it is a prenatal death. Welcome to the show, Nina.
Thank you so much.
Hi, Nina. It's great to have you on the show. I've really enjoyed we really enjoyed reading your book and looking at it and hearing about the disenfranchised grief of grandparents. And it's really been interesting. Could you talk a little bit about Maddie's death and how long it's been for you?
It's been 4 years, 6 months, and 17 days.
Wow, so almost the same amount of time as Jewel.
Very, very similar. Yes, it was November 2003. And my youngest son and daughter-in-law was their first baby, a very planned pregnancy. She actually went in for preconception checkup and counseling, had excellent prenatal care. Everything was normal throughout the pregnancy, normal labor. The staff was as horrified as we were when Maddie was stillborn. She died, best guess, during delivery, and we have no idea why. We'll never know why.
You know, that really, when I read that, I was like, whoa, because I've been at three deliveries, mm-hmm. and how many? No, I've been more than that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. All but one.
Yeah.
And that moment when the baby, I'm a nurse. I have mm-hmm. a background in nursing. I don't really enjoy that moment. When there's a second where the baby is going to breathe or whatever, it's a very tense time. And
yes.
then to have that not happen, I mean, I just, mm-hmm. it's got to be just incredibly horrendous.
Yes, yeah, overwhelming for everybody.
And I just want to say a little bit about Jewel from her book. She was actually, you were actually a pregnancy coach and,
wait,
and you were involved with the
Nina,
hospital.
Right,
and
Mom,
pardon?
Nina, right?
What did you say?
You said you want to say something about Jewel.
Oh, I'm sorry, not Jewel. Nina. We're laughing the last thing. But Nina was an expert. But Jewel also was in the field of mm-hmm. dealing with this kind of thing. So I think one of the things that it says is we've got a person here, and we had two people who had a lot of knowledge in the field, you know, of helping people go through pregnancies. And you felt like it was a real kind of betrayal, right, of the world?
Yes. Yeah, very definitely. And even though I had worked in that field for many, many years, I still had the attitude that babies only die when there's something terribly wrong during mm-hmm. the pregnancy or during labor. We had no indications of any problems during labor either. There was never an indication of fetal distress. You know, that would have alerted the medical staff that we had an emergency situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so there you are, and you've lost your grandchild, and tell us about how it is for you, how it was as a grandparent for our grandparents that are out there listening to the show.
Well, my reactions were similar to Jewel's. I was devastated. I didn't know how to support my son and daughter-in-law. I was trying to support the rest of my family, and I realized that I couldn't do that, that I needed the support. Mm-hmm. I operated like a robot. I was a zombie for many, many months after her death.
You know, I was interested in reading your book, Forgotten Tears, A Grandmother's Journey Through Grief. I was interested that you went, I never thought about my mother. She wasn't quite as involved as you were. We lived 2,000 miles away. And I never thought about her going through the same kinds of things I was going through.
Yeah.
You know, the breathing, the yearning and searching, the pain, you know, all that.
Exactly.
I really didn't ever think about that.
Yeah, I found myself the first several months, actually, after she was born still, I would be pacing the house because I couldn't sleep, and I would notice that my arms were in a cradling motion as though I was carrying my granddaughter, which I was carrying the burden of her but not the warmth of her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you said something in the book which I think is really very interesting and key, too, about how, and I know my husband and I'm sure we did it, how the husband and wife kind of close in.
Yeah.
And because you, I think part of what goes on is I was trying to deal with trying to keep up when my husband was down. I mean, we were having this yin-yang stuff going on with us.
Yeah.
And then to have a parent want to come in and be involved, you could feel shut out. I know my aunt, who was a grandmother, told me she felt shut out of the relationship.
Yeah, very much so. And because I've been so aware of it, this is one of the things that I try and do in helping and counseling bereaved grandparents now, is to reassure them that that's normal. I think part of me assumed that because I had been present the night she was born, I assumed that my son and daughter-in-law would want to grieve with me because we had shared the same physical experience of being in the room together. And they did exactly what you've described. They closed circle with each other. They were a wonderful support to one another. But my grief was too much for them to bear on top of their own. And it took me a while to realize that it was okay for me to grieve alone and to do what I needed to do alone, not to wait for them to want to be with me because they didn't want to be with anyone during that time.
Mm-hmm. And were there people that you could grieve with?
That was where I really had trouble. I was trying to protect my parents, who were still alive and very excited over a great-grandchild. So I was trying to protect them from my pain. My daughter-in-law and I actually became very, very close and lots of support to one another. But I ended up turning to an organization specifically for grandparents that I reference frequently in the book, and they are an internet. They have a very strong and active support forum, and they
were
fabulous.
Yeah, tell us who they are.
Sure. The acronym is AGAST. It stands for Alliance of Grandparents, a Support in Tragedy. So it's AGAST.org. And as I said, they have a very active support forum, and it's just wonderful people, wonderfully supportive, non-judgmental, very open. And I found, for me, I found that to be perfect because any time of the night or day that I needed to talk, I could go online and talk. I didn't have to get dressed and drag myself to a support group.
Mm-hmm.
And I can honestly say that if I had to take a shower and get dressed and leave my house to go to a group, I don't think I would have.
Well,
I mean, physically, I couldn't.
Sometimes you need support in the middle of the night. You don't know when you're going to need support.
Right, exactly.
You know, this is so interesting because people just don't really think about grandparents as being this moved.
Right.
By the experience.
Yeah, and I agree, and that's where my title came from. I felt as though by society, not so much my family, but that my tears were forgotten.
Mm-hmm. Right. And also, how about your husband or granddad?
We are divorced, so his grief was his own grief.
Okay, but
he didn't share any grief.
But still, did he share anything with his son? Because I'm finding men, as I go through this, are really pretty unique in their grief. They really deal with it differently.
I really don't know in any of their private conversations. The only thing that I'm aware of is the conversation, very brief conversation that he and I had, was that he felt that our son was wallowing.
Mm-hmm.
And, with a background in grief counseling, I don't use that word.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So that's really interesting. I think it shows some of the family dynamics out there. It's very complicated, isn't it, when you start moving away from the couple and go out, you know, and look at the whole extended family and what happens to the hierarchies.
Exactly.
You know, how people, it's messy.
Yeah.
To
well,
say
and
the
even
least.
Look how we treat fathers also. Because I know my son had many experiences where people said to him, "How's your wife?"
Mm-hmm.
As though he hadn't had a loss either.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And you felt, in the book I got the feeling that you somewhat felt that your son wasn't allowing you enough connection with him or something like that, or you weren't able to help them as much as you wanted to.
Yeah, I did, and we're very close, and we live nearby, and we've always been very close, and I think it was just that he needed to turn to his wife, and they needed to completely isolate. That was how they needed to grieve.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't realize that at the time when I was in the middle of my grief, I couldn't really kind of look at and analyze their grief.
You know, I love this because this gives those grandparents out there, you are giving people so much permission to be angry at their kids, to be angry at life, to be angry at losing a grandchild. You know, it's wonderful to have the permission to feel the way you do feel.
Right, because I feel like I'm sure that there's a lot of grandparents out there that feel isolated right now and would like to really help their children but feel like they're not allowed in, like you said.
Yeah. And I think basically I learned that the best way that I could help them was to find help for myself. Mm-hmm. That if I could tend to my own grief, I could connect and relate to them, or maybe they could connect and relate to me on a better level. Not so much on the grief level, but on the let's make memories. Let's find a place for this baby in our family.
Mm, I love that. And how did you do that? Were there ways that you did that?
Well, one of the ways that we did it was kind of we fell into it. The nursery pattern that they had chosen had, like, frogs and turtles and butterflies and dragonflies. And without even discussing it, we all adopted the dragonfly as our symbol of Maddie. Mm-hmm. And it's become such a symbol that I even have coworkers and friends, when they see a piece of stationery or a card or a little dragonfly pin somewhere, they'll pick it up and give it to me. So that's really become our symbol of Maddie. We give each other dragonfly gifts on what should be her birthday. I give my daughter-in-law something with a dragonfly every year for Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm. Now, you talk a little bit about, in your book too, which I love this, about how grandparents have to go to work.
Yes.
That is so interesting because nobody would think about giving a grandparent time off.
Yeah, exactly. And that's pretty much standard corporate policy when I was looking into it, one day bereavement leave for a grandchild.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awful.
And then you also say that much of your self-identity was shattered when Maddie died. If the part of my role as a mother is to protect my child, then I had failed miserably.
Yeah. I still get teary when I read or hear that statement because, I mean, isn't that how we all feel as parents? Even if our children are grown and married and have their own families, that as a mother or as a father, we want to care for them. We want to protect them. You know, my son was a grown man, but he was still my baby boy.
Right.
And I really did feel as though in some way I had let him down because I couldn't protect him from this pain. I couldn't protect his daughter, and I couldn't protect him from his pain.
You know, one of the things that I'm thinking about also is I wrote a book on in-laws, the In-Law Survival Manual is what it's called, and it's on the website. And one of the dynamics that goes on is the tension between the triangle between the husband, the wife, and the mother. And, you know, the mother-in-law of the wife and did a study. The major problems are with mothers-in-laws and daughters-in-laws in a study that I did. And so if there's any tension, just for our audience out there, if there's any tension with your daughter-in-law before, you've really got to walk on eggshells after the death of a child, don't you?
Oh, I would think absolutely. I've been very fortunate. I have two sons and two wonderful daughters-in-law, and I can very openly and honestly say they are both the daughters that I never had.
Mm-hmm.
So I have been very fortunate in having a good relationship. But I can say that this actually brought my younger daughter-in-law and I closer together. We did call each other. We did cry over the phone, and she was the one who told me I had to write a book. The grieving mother is the one who said, you need to write a book. Because one of the things, one day I was crying to her that I can't, we both are big readers and we were ordering books from Amazon and, you know, sharing them back and forth. And I was crying and actually whining to her that I couldn't find anything for grandparents. And she said, then you have to write it.
Oh, that's amazing.
So she was the one who started this path.
It sounds a little bit like the women bonded. You know, we had dinner last night with a couple who are fairly newly, well, it's been a while, a couple of years. And the husband was there, and he's a very professional guy, and,
mm-hmm.
and the wife. And we were having dinner with my husband, and I kind of wanted to bring up the death of their child, and my husband kind of shut me down. And afterward, he said, you know, Gloria, he didn't want to go there. He wanted to have dinner with me. He knows that we've lost a child. That's enough for two guys.
Yeah.
He wanted to talk about work.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know what? And he said, are you mad at me because I did that? And I said, no. I said, I get it. You know, you knew what he wanted.
Yeah.
His wife and I have talked before. So it's tricky, isn't it, with a grandparent on how to deal with who talks when and that kind of thing.
It's very tricky. It's very tricky. And sometimes I find that I'm still kind of walking that tightrope. You know, when it comes close to her birthday, do I call them and say, are you doing anything special? Do you want to get together for lunch or dinner? Or do I wait for them to ask me? And, you know, I do still sometimes wonder, should I make the initial move or should I wait?
Mm-hmm. And how do you decide?
I usually kind of decide on the spur of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a set way that I analyze and that I decide. And if I haven't heard from them and it's kind of getting down to the week before, I'll pick up the phone or I'll email and I'll say, you know, would you like to do something special for Maddie?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And who would you call?
My daughter-in-law.
Okay.
Actually, and not because of any distance between my son and I, but because she tends to be the better planner in terms of, yes, let's get together for dinner. You know, if I give him a message, she might not get it.
because one of the things I found in the study I did that women tend to be the social networkers.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So you're really looking at the family system and keeping, we call it in the therapy world, the hierarchy straight.
Yeah.
Staying in your position and thinking about the position. You know, grandparents, the really most wonderful role I think they can have is as trusted advisors.
Yeah. Yeah, and I like your phrase, staying in their position, because I find that I think that's what I'm unconsciously doing. I'm telling myself, I'm not the mother, I'm not the father, so they need to, you know, set the course of what they need and let me know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And be available. Well, it's time for us to go to break right now, and we're talking to Nina Bennett, bereaved grandmother and author of Forgotten Tears, A Grandmother's Journey Through Grief.
Please stay tuned to hear more. And remember, you can reach us through our blog, thegriefblog.com, with questions or comments regarding this show or other shows. And you can also download our archives are on transcripts, and they can be downloaded. Stay tuned for more.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Who are we? What really matters? Is it possible to find true happiness after a great loss? The answers to some of life's most important questions are explored in Space Between Breaths, a powerful, uplifting film which looks at the potential in grief and to the ways it can become a motivational, transformational force in our lives. Featuring conversations with parents who have lost a child, including those whose loved ones died at Columbine on September 11th, and a mother whose son was one of the first U.S. soldiers to die in Iraq. Space Between Breaths offers an inspired and healing perspective on loss, which will transform the way you live and love. For information on ordering the film, visit the website www.spacebetweenbreaths.com.
Hello, Doctors Gloria and Heidi are pleased to announce that their new book, Teen Grief Relief, Parenting with Understanding, Support, and Guidance, published by Rainbow Books, is now available. Grief Relief can be ordered through thegriefblog.com as well as Amazon. Book orders can be made through the Book Clearinghouse at 800-431-1579. This book is a must for any family suffering a loss. Get your copy right now at thegriefreliefblog.com or amazon.com.
Save the date. The Compassionate Friends 31st National Conference will be held July 18th through 20th, 2008, in the home of country music, Nashville, Tennessee. If you've experienced the devastating death of a child in your family, you will not want to miss the weekend of friendship, understanding, and hope, when more than 1,200 people just like you will join together. Said one person in describing last summer's 2007 National Conference, there was so much love and compassion, you could feel it in the air. To learn more about the 2008 National Conference, the pre-conference professional outreach day, and the popular two-mile walk to remember, visit CompassionateFriends.org or call 877-969-0010. Detailed information on the conference will be posted to the national website as it becomes available.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi for our final segment of Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and renewal for those who have suffered the loss of a loved one.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm Dr. Heidi with my mom, Dr. Gloria, and we're talking today with Nina Bennett about the loss of a grandchild. Welcome back to the show, Nina and Gloria.
Well, thanks, Heidi. I'm just looking at Nina's book, and I would highly recommend if you're a grandparent that you get it because and you've lost a grandchild, because, or give it to somebody else who has. I mean, it's just got so much amazing information because Nina has been so honest, I mean, in her thoughts and feelings, and I just know that many grandparents are feeling the same way. Now, Nina, when your grandchild died, you were already in the field of, what did you call yourself at that time?
Well, I'm not a certified bereavement counselor, but I've done a lot of kind of unofficial bereavement counseling over the years. I work in the HIV field, and I've been in HIV since the beginning of the epidemic.
Mm-hmm. And you were involved with the prenatal classes and helping people and all that kind of thing?
Yes, I taught prepared childbirth classes for many, many years and attended lots of labor and delivery.
So you knew a lot about what was going on but of course, that moment when your little grandchild did not breathe and you were just coincidentally at the hospital, you weren't even going to go.
Yes,
you were
yeah.
sitting out and just happened to be there when it happened.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to, some of the things that grandparents have to deal with, is, and parents also, but grandparents, I didn't even thought about it, you buying toys, and you already had things planned for the child, and now we know. Did you know the sex of the child?
No, we didn't. We're probably one of the few couples in this day and age who did not know the gender in advance.
So you hadn't bought the little
So I, we had bought lots of stuff, but I didn't have anything pink.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I had lots of toys and lots of gender-neutral, you know, yellow and green sleepies and things like that.
One of the things that I wanted you to mention, there are two things that came to mind from looking at your book. One of them was how hard it was for you to go into therapy.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting because it's the first thing I recommend to anybody is, you know, to talk to a counselor, to find a support group, to find someone to share with. And yet I found it very difficult myself. It was as though I thought, well, I shouldn't need this because I know this stuff. I was looking at myself as a professional, not as a grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
So it took me a while to make that separation and to allow myself to just be a bereaved grandmother.
And also
allow yourself to a certain extent to be taken care of instead of always taking care of everybody else, because that's what you did in your field and in your personal life and helped other people.
Absolutely.
And you think of that as a grandparent, you know, there to support, not to be on
sure.
the line.
Sure.
So
yeah,
how
to
can
support
you
the whole family.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Incredible. Well, the other thing I wanted to talk about was how the two grandmothers bonded.
Yes. And again, we'd always had a cordial relationship, but especially when our son and daughter-in-law, our son and daughter retreated to one another and they didn't answer their phone. They would return phone calls, but they would let everything go to the voicemail and kind of screen the calls. So my son's
mother-in-law, how did that make you feel?
Oh, made me feel very isolated. It made me feel very isolated.
And the first time, did you just feel crazy and angry?
The first couple times, I wasn't so much angry. I was scared. I was really worried because I wasn't sure about their mental stability. This was their first baby. They didn't have other children at home to care for. So the first couple times I called and didn't get an answer and got voicemail, I was actually scared.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally did talk to my daughter-in-law, and I, you know, kind of extracted a promise from her that I will respect you and not call you 100 times a day if you can find the strength to call me if you really think that either one of you is in serious trouble of harming yourself, because then I'm going to have to break down your door. That's all there is to it.
I was scared. I like going to them and saying, look,
yeah.
I will respect your privacy, but you need to come to me if there's a problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good way to set a boundary
for
both sides. So the two grandmothers.
So the two grandmothers started calling each other and spending a lot of time on the phone. Yes,
that's
yeah,
funny.
Because definitely we had a shared grief. We had both lost a much wanted and anticipated grandchild.
Mm-hmm. Well, in our last few minutes, do you have any advice for grandparents out there? What are your big pieces of advice for them? And what about ritual?
Yeah, I think ritual is very important, and it doesn't have to be formalized. It doesn't have to be religious if that's not your own beliefs. It can be even some little thing that you develop yourself, such as the symbol with the dragonfly, if there's a picture or a symbol that you want to hug or kiss, or just lighting a candle. And I can do those things by myself. I don't need to wait for someone else to do them with me. And I think the biggest piece of advice that I would give was the lesson that I learned the hard way, that we all need to be on our own grief journey and to grieve in our own way. So I truly believe that the best thing a grandparent can do to help a child with this type of a death is to take care of his or her own grief.
Well, that is a very good way to end the show, and thank you so much for being on the show today. It's been great having you on, lots of good information, and I would recommend that everybody get Nina Bennett's book if you're a grandparent, or if you're a parent, parent who's lost a child, it may be something that you might want to get for your parents. The book is Forgotten Tears, A Grandmother's Journey Through Grief. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Heidi, this has been a great show today, hasn't it?
It has.
Talking about grandparents and having kind of two different approaches. One grandparent, Jewel Sample, who, you know, did a little workbooks and had wonderful ideas for grandparents on doing workbooks. And then Nina Bennett talking about her book. It's just been a great show. We hope that you will join us again next week because our show will be on overcoming life crisis, and our guest will be Jerry White. Jerry White's a very special guy. He's a global activist and recognized leader in the international campaign to ban landmines. I don't know if you remember, Heidi, the Diana thing. He went around Africa with Diana.
Princess Diana? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Princess Diana to ban landmines.
Right.
And Jerry White was the 1997, he was a co-recipient of the Nobel Prize for Peace. Jerry's the author of I Will Not Be Broken, 5 Steps to Overcoming Life Crisis. And on this show next week, Jerry's going to share with us his formula for survivorship. This show's archived on our blog, thegriefblog.com, as well as the Compassionate Friends website. So stay tuned again next Thursday at 9 Pacific Standard, 12 Eastern, for more of Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope, renewal, and support. And remember, others have been there before you.
and made it. You can too. You need not walk alone. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host,
Dr. Heidi Horsley. Jewel and Nina, thank you both for helping grandparents all over the world feel acknowledged and validated.
You have been listening to Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi Horsley on Healing the Grieving Heart, heard live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on health.voiceamerica.com and worldtalkradio.com. Healing the Grieving Heart is archived on thegriefblog.com as well as the CompassionateFriends.org websites. Tune in again.